Welcome to Holistic Wisdom, where we explore collaborative insights for a healthier world. We will bring together voices from many paths and wisdom keepers from diverse traditions. Each episode is a conversation at the crossroads of science and the natural world. Together, we explore what it truly means to thrive in a healthier environment. Whether you're here to learn, unlearn, or simply reconnect, Holistic Wisdom invites you into a space of curiosity, healing, and possibility. Welcome, Brandi Wells.
Thank you.
Wow, you are amazing. So I'm reading your website. You are the breakthrough medium, angelic healer. You expose clients to the light and shadows of their souls from the paranormal normal field through to the angelic realm. You speak with past loved ones and ancestors, deities, guardian angels, spirit guides, pets. You are medical intuitive. You mentioned Tesla metamorphic energy healing. I'd love to hear about that. Hypnotism. You delve into past lives and meeting future self. So tell us first, how do you come to have these gifts?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Well, when I was a child, my grandmother was very open to the spirit realm, and she spoke about the angels and God and the guardian angels and our spirit guides. She spoke of higher self, and that's not what she called it. And she used to pray, and she taught me how to pray. When I would pray as a child, I would have the experience of who I am praying to come to me. And so I would pray to Mother Mary, and she would float across the room, and she'd sit on the bed with me, and I would have a conversation with her. And this is when I was, about 7, 8 Wow. years old. And that's what I believed praying was, is you call them to you and they sit with you. And that's what I experienced as a child. So I was like, wow, I love praying. I love calling spirit. So that was my personal experience that I had. My grandmother was a beautiful woman. She was a very spiritual woman, but my grandmother was severely abused growing up. And it essentially created a lot of mental health issues for her. She was bipolar with manic depression. I feel that this world and the other world, there was a very blurred line for her because of that. It was hard for people to believe the experiences she was having because of her mental health issues due to her severe trauma. But I grew up with her, and she was my person. My grandmother was my person. She was my Mimi. And she was fifth generation Abenaki. And so I am seventh generation Abenaki. I don't practice anything in the Native American culture, although my grandmother, she spoke of it. It's also not anything she was really exposed to. So, I believe it's just being highly open to spirituality in many forms. And she believed in God. She wasn't a churchgoer, highly religious person, but she did believe in God and spoke about Jesus. So, I was really just open to all of it. And I feel blessed for that, I want to say that's when I remember back having those experiences of praying, and they would come to me when I was 8 years old. So this must have been around age eight. It was 1984. Mm-hmm. And I had a UFO experience. If people want to look it up, it is something that was on the record, and Officer Zeller, Z-E-L-L-E-R, you can still research this today, wow, was on the scene for an unidentified flying object in Westmoreland, New Hampshire. And I saw it as an eight-year-old, and it had flown down my backyard, down. It kind of came over the hill. And so my parents, we lived in a mobile home on a nice plot of land. And beyond my backyard, it was all wooded. There was a major highway, and you couldn't it the highway was far enough that, you could hear traffic here and there, but it was pretty far out. And I saw over the highway this oval object, and it flew down over the hill, and it kind of floated and hovered down into the field that was behind my yard. And I yelled to my mom because I was just looking out the window. I see it float, and I yelled to my mom, right? I
Right.
was like, "Mom." And she didn't come. And so the second time I yelled, "Mom," it sounded more urgent. And she's like, "I'll be right there." But the second time I yelled it, that object was right behind my window. This was about 20 feet from my back window, I'd say.
Wow.
And it was about 10 to 12 feet wide. And it was a big oval, very classic, UFO, but it was an opalescent white. So it was white, but it had this like beautiful opalescence to it. And it had three lights on it. And it had floated right up to the window. But that second time I yelled, it's as if it heard me. And it tipped almost like a curious dog, when you say something, the dog tips its head. And I mean, I remember this. It is such a vivid memory. And when it came to my window, it vibrated this sound that rattled the windows. It was so loud, and it went right through my being, the vibration, and I froze. And this is all happening very quickly. So keep in mind, I see it. All of a sudden, it's behind my window. This is all within seconds. And that vibration, I froze, and I tried to yell, "Mom." And then she did come to me. Well, the second she came to me, it was zipping off and going off to the left of the property. So my mom saw the tail end of it, and that was it.
Wow.
And that night, I started having astral projection.
Seriously.
Yes. And so a lot of people want to experience astral projection.
And explain just a little bit what that is.
Yeah. So astral projection is when the soul leaves the body and essentially is doing like journeying. And what would happen to me is when I would go into like a REM sleep, which I now understand because I am a hypnotist, you're going into, there are different levels of hypnosis. And once you move past the beta, which is the active state, like right now you and I are in beta. Beta is the ability to absorb information in the awake state. And when you get into deeper levels of sleep, you can go all the way into the alpha. And that's like the deepest part of sleep, where the mind is at rest, the body's at rest, and that's where you can start tipping into your higher state of consciousness. And it's what people also aim for in the meditative state, is to be in this deep state of relaxation where you can move into that space of being able to connect to higher consciousness. So I would fall asleep at night, and I would leave and go all these places, and I see these people. I remember my soul going to visit family and friends and helping people. Like, I always wanted to go, and I would go to people, and I would take my hands and I would run my hands along their body to help them heal if they weren't well. I remember going to my grandmother and going over her chest and lungs. And it's like I knew my grandmother was going to be sick. My grandmother ended up with lung cancer. She passed away from lung cancer years later. I would have these experiences. And one in particular I'll share with you because it was so vivid. I fell asleep. I had taken a nap on the couch. And it was that god-awful 1970s velour feel fabric of the couches. This was the leaf pattern, all the brown and orange leaves. And I still remember it because it's, it left an imprint in my mind. And I'm laying on the couch, and I fall asleep, and I get up out of my body, and I'm floating away, and I'm looking back, and I was like, "Wait a minute, like this isn't nighttime. Like, what am I supposed to do? This is the middle of the day," because I didn't typically take naps. I just had fallen asleep probably on a nice, lazy Sunday afternoon. And I panicked. For some reason, my astral project, my soul panicked, and I tried to get back in. And I couldn't. And so
Wow.
when people speak of having almost like a night terror, oh, I can't think of the word right now, but essentially I panicked and I was trying to get back into my body and I couldn't. It took me a while. And when I finally was able to get back into the physical being, I had an adrenaline rush and it sent me into a panic. And I think that particular experience when I was a kid, I stopped astral projecting. It just scared me and it wasn't enjoyable anymore. And as an adult, it happens once in a while where I do, but it's not something I try to do. It just happens. It started with that. And I also feel that that's where my experiences of connecting in a much higher frequency, I feel like that vibration did something.
Right.
And I haven't read up on this, but there are a lot of authors, people out there who've had similar experiences, and they now feel that they have extrasensory or beyond normal, paranormal experiences. So I do feel that that shifted my energy. I do.
Well, it's interesting because, I delve a lot in with sound therapy, crystal bowls and
Yeah.
sound energy. I have a friend who has a huge gong. And when I would go to her, I would stand in front of the gong and she would bang it. She would hit it. And the vibration that would go through me would literally transform. I could feel all of my cells aligning. I could feel everything just sort of going, yeah,
Yes.
And so there's so much now realization and people talking about frequency and all of that. And I think we all have the ability to look through the veil, to connect.
Yeah.
But and maybe we all, you were more open to it.
Yeah. I do believe that we all have access. But there is something to be said about my experience that did shift me. And I do feel that the path I'm on, when I was a kid, I didn't say, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a psychic medium. The things that I am doing, I feel are puppeted by my higher self. I feel I'm just doing what they're asking because, being in tune, it's not for me. I feel I'm here to be at service to others. And so,
Absolutely.
my first jobs, I worked with the elderly. I was 14 and I was a cook at a nursing home. And I used to go around and feed the elderly people. Like I would be the one feeding them. I was with my first death experience. I was 14 and it was a woman, Ethel, and she didn't have any family. I remember, I was the one who would feed her at night because although I would bring them all their meals, she couldn't feed herself. And I became very close to her. And so when she was dying, that was my first death experience, and I was comfortable with it. So, I've worked with the elderly, I've worked with the homeless, I've worked with the disabled, I've worked with animals that are injured or abandoned. And I just feel that spirit, some people are really here to be at service to others. I call them the helpers and healers. And spirit knows that they're in alignment for that. So, although I feel it's a gift, gifts are meant to be shared. It's not for me. It's for me to share and be able to be a conduit between heaven and earth.
Well, it's so interesting as you're describing this story, I could picture you as a little girl. I could so see that whole experience. And I remember when I first met you. I was taken. The first thing I said to you was, "Oh my God, you are so beautiful.
Oh.
Your energy is just so empathic, so lovely, so warm. It's beyond anything I've ever experienced before, really." And
You're making me teary. Thank you.
well,
Thank you.
I think maybe you're an I we all come into this plane each lifetime for. We have contracts, right? So
Yes.
you were sent back here from the angelic realm. Hey, we need some help
Yeah. That's interesting. I always tell people it's so much work being a human, isn't it? It's so much to navigate. I appreciate you sharing your opinion. I'm humbled by it. Thank you. I've done a lot of journey work for myself and a lot of healing. We all have our stories to tell, and I have a lot of personal things that I've had to overcome, just like anyone, but I do feel my connection to spirit has it's been unwavering, you know, like I am open to receiving and I invite that. I'm not afraid of it, you know. So learning about past lives, I just want to touch on that a little bit. That's where this is something that has come to me recently that spirit has shared, is that in my direct past life, I was a nun. And when I've gone into my past lives, I keep coming back to my direct past life. I was a nun, and it was up until 1963. I wasn't born until 1975. And so I had about 10 years between lives. I feel in my between lives, time only matters to the living. So there's this interesting space I've gone into in my life between lives as well. But in my direct past life, I was a nun in the Catholic religion, I ran a nunnery. And I was very strict. I was not nice to children. I was very mean to children. When I've gone into this past life, I come out crying and bawling. The guilt I feel for believing that because of my faith, I used it as power over innocent children. And when I say I was mean to them, I really sat with it. And I've gone into my past life intentionally to understand where those feelings are coming from and why I behaved the way I did and why I came into this life like feeling. I mean, I feel all of it as if I'm still that person. So just doing those past life regressions, understanding that, I really feel that that is the motivation for being a good person in this life. Although I had my faith and I lived a clean life and I lived in accordance to that dedication, I was not a kind person.
That's so interesting. My understanding is that we all keep coming back to heal, right? We call it karma, right? So do you have children now?
Yes, I have.
We all come back to heal our past. And it's so difficult to even consider you being a mean person.
So when I was a kid, though, Margie, my mom used to say this all the time, I am never having children. I can't stand children. I mean, I had a neighbor down the street and they'd ask me to babysit, and I'm like, I do not like children, mom. Like, I do not want children. I do not. And it was such a strange thing. As a kid, I was so linked into that. And then all of a sudden, there was a huge shift in my energy. And at about 14, I just wanted to help people and help people. And I believe what I call it is a changing of the guard, and it's a changing of the guide. I feel I had a new spirit guide come in. Our spirit guides are a version of us in another lifetime. Different guides come in because there are different chapters of our lives that we have different needs. There's a different version of you as being a student, as you are becoming a mom or a wife. It's like the roles we play. Different guides will come in and help us. And I
Interesting.
feel there was a major shift in my guidance. I just had another one come in because I had a major life shift come up for me. I would say it was about 6 months ago. And I felt it. And a lot of times people will call these awakenings when all of a sudden everything shifts and changes. But I call it the changing of your guide. It's a changing of your, you know, everything's shifting and you need different guidance. And these are versions of you in another lifetime. So spirit guides help you. They have already experienced things that you've been through. And so this new spirit guide that I have working with me right now appears as a male. His name is Jesse. He's very strong and he is helping me with my own personal strength and my ability to discern the good from the bad. I've been in a lawsuit for about 7 years and it's been scary and a lot of emotions. And he came in and all of a sudden I have a totally different perspective and I've been able to remove ego from it and feeling victimized. And I've realized, like, you know what? Sometimes you're here to teach someone a lesson.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And that's what he's helping me do right now. So, you know, just those guides are versions of us in another lifetime. It's kind of
Do
interesting.
they help you no matter what, or do you have to call them in?
They help no matter what.
Okay.
But your awareness can amplify that energy. So all of a sudden, I was like, whoa, what is happening? I'm getting these very direct messages about this case that I've been in for 7 years. And all of a sudden, I'm not afraid. Why am I not afraid anymore? What's going on? And so I meditated with it and I asked him to come to me. And I did a hypnosis because I hypnotized myself. I used my hypnosis to connect to higher consciousness. And I was able to understand why I've shifted. And, it's what I needed. It's what I needed for my soul growth. I needed to be afraid for those 7 years. I needed to be in that place of feeling victimized. I'm okay with it.
The question that comes up is, I think I get what I call downloads. I'll be doing the dishes and I get these
Yes.
downloads. It's like, wow. And if you, I've learned to just accept it and say, okay, I'll try that, or, I to believe it. But I think so many of us go, oh, what was that? We push those things aside because where did it come from? I was just doing the dishes and suddenly I'm told to, go answer the phone or whatever. Have you gone back to a previous life before you were a nun?
Yes, I have been in several past lives with my own hypnosis. So I offer hypnosis and I offer it through Zoom and I do a lot of like group experiences for people. I do some in-person experiences. And it's not just, I do hypnosis for, quitting smoking, wellness and weight loss, manifestation. I mean, it's endless. It's such a powerful tool because we become what we believe. In journey work, it's endless the places you can go in your subconscious mind. So I have two different past lives that I've gone into that are back in the, one was in 1642 and one was in the 1500s, but I couldn't nail the date. And so my hope is to go back and understand it. I was back in what appeared to be, it was either like Arabian sands or it was definitely, I was in sand and I was in this cave. And my parents had died, and there was a man who was taking care of me. And I had this stick. I was sleeping in the cave with this man, and I was just curled up on a cloth. I was about 7 years old, and I woke up before the sun was up, and the man told me, and he spoke a different language, but it was like I knew what he was saying. And he told me I couldn't wake up yet. I needed to wait for the sun to rise. And so I fell back asleep in this experience. I woke up as soon as the sun came up because I wanted to play with the stick. And in my mind, I was pretending the stick was a snake. And so I was whipping the snake through the sand, playing with it and pretending that I was trying to catch a snake. And then I came out of it and I was like, wow, my parents died. And this man was caring for me. That was a long time ago. In 1642, I was in Mesopotamia and I was a man. I looked down at my feet and I had hairy feet, hairy legs. And in the middle of my hypnosis, when I'm doing, I started laughing. Oh my God, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so hairy. I wasn't very tall. I had very deep olive skin. I had beautiful skin. And I had like almost like a loincloth. So I was wearing cloth to cover my body and I was in a long cave and it kind of looked over this. It was like a shallow kind of valley area. And there was a woman and she was not able to care for herself. It's as if she had like a weak or feeble mind, but she was beautiful. She had like beautiful eyes and beautiful hair. And when I looked in her eyes, it was my daughter. And it's my oldest daughter. Her name is Mackenzie. Mackenzie is incredibly gifted. She is on her own spiritual journey and she's an animal communicator. Her ability with animals is like, I mean, she trains and breaks horses, amazes me. But it was my daughter and she needed me. And it was like, oh my gosh, I recognize her soul. And I moved into that life later. We had had four boys, four children, and I recognized three of the boys' souls as well. And they were different people in my life that have come back around into my life in different ways. So, those are two that stick out that really fascinate me. But yeah, past life regressions, you can really discover Not just your now, but I always tell people, like, keep all the information in your back pocket, because a lot of things that I've experienced in my past lives, like, I didn't understand why my daughter needed me, because my daughter is, this is my extremely independent child. Like, she does not need me in this lifetime. And then I got message, well, that's why you keep interacting. Like, the more you spend time to, the less she needs you. It's about her learning to not need me, that she has all of her power within her. So it's kind of neat, you know?
Very, very neat. But
Yes.
when you go back, you're healing the present, past, and future, right? So you are
Yes.
healing. So
Yeah.
interesting. But tell us first, how is the work that you do, how is it helpful long term for people when they work with you? Do people stay with you long enough for you to see a transformation?
Yes. I do hypnosis mainly in the winter months. Occasionally, I do it through the summer, but most people are busy and they're very outward with their energy. And so we tend to go inward in the fall and winter and do self-care. And that's where I do most of my hypnosis. But I only do hypnosis probably once a week. I'll do a group experience. I have clients who will book hypnosis probably 2 or 3 times a week. Most of my work is channeling message for people. And that's where I do open forum channeling, where I'm connecting to people's higher selves to receive message. And message is always received to help light the way for the living. And so, whether that be a healing message from the beloved dead or messages about someone's potential, what's in store for them, like spirits trying to show them the way through a job change, how to manifest financial stability, what's going on medically with people. So, that's mainly what I do. I have had clients that have come to me once. And then I have some that I meet with every month. And it's really what someone needs or what they're drawn to. And I have seen a lot of really positive changes. Last night, I did a gallery in a winery, and I've been there before, and it was a smaller group of 25, which I really enjoy. So I'm able to reach a lot of people. It's more intimate. A woman came up to me after, and she said, "I have connected with you on and off for the last 5 years, and I just want to tell you how much you've changed my life." She said, "Last fall, you did a private session for me, and it was on Zoom. And I channeled a message through her father, who was a businessman. And her father was advising her on her business, like what she was doing for her work. And she had just started dabbling in travel and providing travel experiences for people, group travel, things like that." And she said, "My father came in talking about me traveling and how I need to help people explore the world." And she said, "You know, it inspired me so much. The messages were so powerful, so direct on how to do this, when I'm going to do this, what it looks like. Last year, I started this." And she said, "And I have brought in over $1 million of revenue because of you."
Wow.
So that for me, I just went, whoa, leave people better than I find them. That's my goal. I always want to leave people better than I find them. And I don't always get to hear that feedback. And that just, I had tears in my eyes. I was like, honey, I was the messenger. You did the work. You were listening. You know, like her dad was the one nudging her to start this business. And she just kept listening to him. And I was teaching her how to listen. Just be open. He will keep directing you. He was a businessman. He wants her to be successful. And she's like, "I listened to my dad and I kept listening and listen." And here she is, you know?
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, there are a lot of people that just are too afraid to embrace this. It's woo-woo, it's all of those things. And yet, you work with over 4,500 people a year, I
Yeah.
believe. And I love to hear that because more and more people are searching outside of the norm for answers and for help. And you have to be open to spirit and open to other ways of thinking and being and healing in order to get this help. Deities, who are they? What is the difference between deities and guardian angels and spirit guides?
So deities are higher vibrating beings. So that is to identify the angels, the guides, the so it's really the higher vibrating beings. So all deities. So you could be working with a deity that's a goddess, a god, a specific archangel. Those are all the higher frequencies of beings that are essentially trying to pull us up. They're trying to bring us into the higher frequencies to live in pure light. Because here on earth, this is your heaven or your hell. The more you can vibrate higher or bring yourself into higher frequencies, the more you will experience joy and peace and comfort here on earth. So I like working with many different deities though. You know, I have in my office, I've got, you know, the African god of fertility, and I've got a Buddha, and I believe if they're light beings, work with them.
Do you believe? I believe that we are meant to not only burn our bright, you know, shine our brightest light, but I believe that we are meant to enjoy life to the fullest, and that we are meant to enjoy and live an abundant life and share that with everyone. But I meet so many people that believe that you're meant to struggle on this earth. You know, and maybe that's what you mean by, you know, it's either heaven or hell. I mean, we, you know, there are people that say, why did this happen to me? Or why did this happen to her? She's such a good person. There can't be a God because God wouldn't allow this to happen to.
Oh, that's such a hard thing when people say that. I know.
And I, for some reason, I don't know why I know this, but I very inherently I know that we are here to experience and learn from past lives. Depending on how you approach it, is whether you learn from it and go on to a higher existence, even in this plane, or you struggle and you hold on to that. So let's talk about the medical intuitive. Because that's so fascinating. How do you see and feel?
That has evolved over time. I didn't realize that I had that ability until I've been channeling for 10 years, where I channel. When I say a channel, I go into a state of self-hypnosis, and it's what I call an awake meditation, and it's where I connect to the energy of the sitter, the person I'm connecting to. And I am allowing their energy to enter mine. And so I will feel what they are feeling. And so it's an energy connection through the ethereal cord, the cord of energy between me and who I'm connecting to. And I will ask their higher self to please scan the body to understand the core of where ailment begins. And I will tell you, it does not begin in the physical body. It
No.
always begins in the spiritual body, to the emotional
Sure.
body, to the physical body. So ailments, even if people are like, well, what do you mean? My toe broke because I stubbed it. I'm like, well, why did you stub your toe?
Right.
And what's going on with you not feeling in control right now? What is it within that right leg, the right side of your body, which is about stepping forward into something that you are not paying attention to? And so, you know, spirit, they will help get to the core of the why. So when I'm channeling, so for instance, you know, just because this was just last night and I was in this winery and I'm channeling spirit, and a loved one will they'll kind of like drop into the room. I can feel, sense, hear, and then they'll start, you know, connecting directly to someone, showing me where they appear within their energy field. Then the ethereal cord, the cord of energy between us, will activate, and I will start feeling what they felt, whether that be their emotions in their physical body. And so they will start describing to me, and it's what I call hot energy on the body where ailment existed. So, for instance, last night I was connecting to this man. And all of a sudden, I felt all this pressure. And it was almost like a band around my whole chest, and my whole chest felt like tight. It turned out it was not in the heart, it was actually in the lungs, that there was a lot of pressure. I was having a hard time with breathing because of the lungs. And then all of a sudden, my whole body felt hot. And it turns out her father passed from COVID. And so, it's like he was allowing me to feel what he was feeling when, and that's for someone in spirit because I'm trying to understand their story. They want to tell their story. And so, it also helps to identify like, okay, this is definitely her father, right? Her father is the only one who passed from COVID and he had the fever and the flu like and all of it, okay? And so it just helped to validate that connection. A lot of times, spirit, they will have me channel the person that I'm connecting to, and all of a sudden, I'll feel all this hot energy in my knee. And then they'll help me go into, like, okay, the left knee, that's connected to what we feel we deserve, like what's going on with your self-worth, like, and what are you worried about that you're not, and so spirit, they will help get to the bottom of it, but it really is a way of allowing them to step in so I become the person I'm channeling. So it's a process, but I feel over time, I used to have to work at it more. But just like anything, the more you do something, the better you become. And they help me get into the cellular level of the body. And I've helped people discover their exact food sensitivity, like what they're allergic to. I've helped people with what mineral or supplement they need because their body is lacking something in the, the cellular body. So, it's a process, but it's once again, like I allow it to happen because I'm trying to help the living.
And so, say you do this and you find that somebody needs more calcium. Can you verify that? Can you validate that?
What I explain is, I'm not a doctor, and I disclose that everywhere. I'm a medical intuitive. And when I hear a message, it means go out and get more information. So please, ask your doctor, can you please do a panel on my minerals? Because I'm really tired all the time. That's the goal. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and said, oh my gosh, I have struggled with this for years. And you sent me on a path to check my liver function. And now I've done an entire liver cleanse and I feel amazing. And I didn't realize I had metals in my body and I just needed a deep cleanse. So I know something is working when spirit's channeling this, but I don't heal people. I send them on a path to heal themselves because we all have free will. I mean, I could, this, you know what happens a lot? This is really interesting what happens a lot. I'll start channeling and then I start connecting because someone's really worried about like their mom and their mom, is having maybe something cognitive going on. And I start channeling and I'm like, you know what? I could listen to this all day long, all the things that we could do for your mom, but your mom doesn't want it.
Oh,
Your
interesting.
mom has free will and she doesn't want the path to healing that. So, although you want that for your mom is on her own journey and you need to love her where she is. So,
Interesting.
there are times that, I could listen to the path of healing, but we're, her soul is on a different journey.
Absolutely. Wow, that's so interesting. That's so cool. So what is Tesla metamorphic energy healing?
Tesla metamorphosis energy healing is a platform created by, her name is Anya, and it's hard to say her last name, but it's Petrovich. I think she now resides in Australia, and she channeled this through Nikola Tesla. And she wanted to prove that energy is free, just as Tesla had proven that energy is free. And energy is free, meaning I'm a field of energy and I can conduct energy, right? And my energy, I could use that energy, and I'm using that energy to do work and to create and to provide. And she was able to channel this healing method, essentially using someone's innermost self, the core of their energy body, to heal themselves. So it is manipulating the energy of someone's core and moving it to their outermost self. Through this healing, you're taking that blue light energy, the core of who we are, the soul self, and you are healing everything before you, all the way back to the Akasha. And so it's an energy healing modality. I am able to see the chakras, I'm able to see the aura, and a lot of times the disruptions in the aura, the tears in the aura from trauma that's within someone's their own past, I'm able to smooth out those lines through the core of who they are. And so it really does heal any wounds within our lifetime back into the Akasha so that people can heal into the cellular level. It's a very powerful healing modality. And I have gotten good results from people. The only difference with what Anya teaches and what I, it's like we take the bits and pieces of everything we learn.
Sure.
She said, we're not doing mediumship. We are not doing, and I couldn't stop. Once I tap into someone's energy, I will see the reason why your heart was broken because your mom died when you were 12. She's right in the area of when you were 12 years old, and that's the disruption of the energy. And this is why you now have pain in your left shoulder. I can't help that I see her. She would tell me, like, no, you can't. I'm like, I can't stop that.
And who, yeah, and
No,
who, yeah,
yeah.
that's just not her. Hers was to be very linear about what her
Yes.
learning
And I
was.
love what she does, but I can't
Yeah.
see what I do, is what I was saying. And so I've integrated it with my work. So when I'm doing the Tesla energy healing, visitors will come in and I can see where they came in or where the disruption was or what they're trying to help you heal. So they come in because they know, like, that was part of the wound I was part of. I want to help you heal that.
Yeah.
So the loved ones come in and they'll try to help with it. Anya also believes that you need 3 sessions to heal, and I've found that I can do it in 1 session.
Really?
That I believe it's because I'm working directly with where the wound came from,
Sure.
So I feel I've taken her powerful tool and I've been able to integrate it into what I do. And it doesn't mean that hers is wrong or I'm doing it wrong. I feel that she gave me something very positive to work with, like another layer to the onion of the work I do. And she has written a book. If you look up Tesla Metamorphosis Healing, it is trademarked because that's her channeling and her work and her platform that she created. But she teaches all over the world. I went to Canada to learn. It was the closest place I could find.
That's so fascinating. It j just blows me away. So I want to talk about pets because I have had two pets. I have one now, a puppy. I had a dog that I got. Her name was Gigi, and she was this little tiny thing. And she was so, I mean, this dog, talk about an angel coming down for me. And she and I were so connected. We communicated without words. And
Oh, I love that.
when my mother died, I had my whole family at my house. After she died, we all came back to my house and we were having food and eating. And my dog kept making me go outside. I had this whole group of my family there and I was entertaining them, making food. And I kept taking her out and going, "What do you want? What do you want?" And she wouldn't do anything. And so I'd come back in and she kept insisting that I take her outside. Finally, I went out and she just looked up at me and she said to me, "Stop and listen." And I heard it and I stood there and I could hear my mother in the sky. I heard this whooshing and she was saying, "I'm free. I'm free. I'm free." And it was like, blew me away. It just blew me away. I didn't go back in and explain that to anybody because they all would have said, "Yeah, right, Margie." But
Yeah.
it was so real for me. And then when she died, I contacted a pet communicator, and she was so exact because I had another dog at the time, and I had a picture of him on my mantle. And the pet communicator said to me, "Gigi wants a picture of her on the mantle, like you have of Otis." I mean, you can't, there's no way that woman would have known.
Yeah.
And, she then told me that Gigi was fine and that she, I had to put her down. And she said she doesn't, she's fine and she's happy to be out of that body. But it was It was amazing, you know, and I'm telling the story only to say it, and I think people can allow that more with their pets than they do with humans, you know,
Yes.
that communication and that believing that you can actually communicate with your pet.
Yes.
Okay, and so lastly, meeting future self.
Yeah. So I occasionally will offer a three-part series of hypnosis: your past life, your life between lives, and meeting your future self. In our past life, as we spoke of, you're exploring the many lives you've been in before the life you are currently in, which is fascinating to understand. We can go back and even understand the root of some of our cycles, things that feel karmic, things that feel stuck, to help break the ties of being bound to those energies. It really does open up doors for people. In life between lives, we go into our death scene of our direct past life. So I take people into their direct past life. They go to their death scene, and it's a very removed experience. I know that sounds like, oh my gosh, why would I want to do that? But it's very removed. You're watching it as if you're watching a movie. And then you float into the space of in between. And in the space of in between, that is the place of free will of the soul, where you decide what lessons you're going to sign up for, who will be involved with those lessons, the timeline, how you're going to die. Like, it's everything that is planned for this next life that you're going to move into. And then the magic happens of how we're going to step into that. So, what throws people off with that, and something that Spirit has shared, I just want to share this with you, is that you could sign up for, let's say, Margie, you signed up for lessons in love relationships. It almost feels like you lose yourself and other people in relationships. It feels like you can never reclaim yourself. I'm just throwing an example out there of what some people may experience. It's like, gosh, you keep going into relationships where you just keep losing yourself and you don't feel like you have a sense of self. Well, it's your free will how many times you do that before you discover, like, I don't need someone. I want someone and deserve someone who is equal to me, where I can still be my own person and I'm not going to lose myself in someone. And so it's your free will how many times you do that until you learn the lesson. And like, once you learn the lesson, you check that shit off your list.
But how, you know, I've experienced it. I've you know plenty of people that have. It's like you keep bumping into that same wall. Even though you have free will, you
Yeah.
don't, you know, when are you going to learn that lesson?
Well, it's learned when you like, okay, so for me, I'm in a really hard lesson right now with my lawsuit, but something shifted for me about 6 months ago. I also have a hearing coming up December 1st. I'm not afraid of it for the first time.
That's so cool.
And I shouldn't be anyways. I mean, I've done nothing wrong, but it's the feeling of the financial burden, being in
Of
court.
course.
You know, it's a very thick vibration to move through in the court system.
Absolutely.
But something shifted. And so I know it's about to change. I can feel it, right? So it's the feeling of being relieved from the burden, of the experience. That's when the lesson is learned. Another one that happened for me is I have had many friendships where women turn on me, and it is the most hurtful turning up. And I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand. Finally, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give 100% of myself to women anymore. I'm going to save a little in the reserves for myself because I would give and give because it's everything I wanted in a friendship from them. And I've learned that lesson now. I can be loving and hold space for someone and give my energy in a friendship. If I'm not receiving it, I stop giving. And I finally feel like it's equal now. The reality was, like, they weren't doing it to me. That was a reflection of myself.
Right. And
So
those
it's,
people were coming into your life for you.
yeah. And so I thank them and I send them off with white light. I thank them because now I have self-preservation that I never had before because of that. So that's what I mean is, like, when you're able to be relieved of the burden, the feeling of being relieved from it, that's when the lesson is learned. So when you're meeting your future self, You go into a state of, I essentially bring people into the now, the life they're in, and 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and I've gone as far as 10 years from now. The point of doing that, it's kind of interesting. People are able to look back at the challenges they currently have, how they got through it. What
Wow.
did I do to get through that? And so let's say, go back to this relationship thing, okay?
Yeah.
And you're actively seeking this partner, and you're like, gosh, I just feel like I can't align myself with someone who sees my value and worth and is my equal and is my friend and my partner and wants to experience life on the same level as me. And you want to know and understand that. I'm able to remove you from that state of ego, that you're in the current, like, okay, what are my fears? It's all that human emotion stuff that kind of holds us up. And I bring you into the 1 year from now, looking back at where you've come through that journey, 2 years from now. And a lot of times I'll carve it to what people are seeking in the experience. And in the end, people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that, the only thing stopping me from this love relationship is I'm judging everyone before I even give them a chance. Like, let's say that's what it is. And I'm just giving you an example. Maybe I'm channeling something real for you right now.
I'm like, oh my God. Have we talked
Oh.
about this, or is she just channeling this? Yeah.
So, that all of a sudden you realize like it's all about judgment. You see that and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm judging people before I even give them a chance. And, like I'm seeing their flaws, but I'm not seeing the core of who they really are. And that, like there will be hangups, there will be things that I don't like about them, but in the core, like this is a good person. And then you see yourself with the person and you're like, oh my gosh, it's right there. And what's neat about it is once you see it, you can then expedite that shit. Once again, you can expedite it.
Right.
So it's really a fascinating process. I can't do that in one session though.
Yeah, probably
I
not.
have to separate these out because it's far too different to experience in one session. It would end up being very convoluted for people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I always record the sessions when they're on Zoom, and that's
Yeah.
something people really enjoy because you could listen on a Sunday morning and have a prolific experience. And then you could listen on Monday night and zonk out and feel like, gosh, why did I even do that? It's really your energy plays into it, the state of mind you're in, how tired your body or your mind is, how stimulated you were. So you got to remember that you're dealing with the subconscious mind and it's always interacting with the world that we're in. Good to experience it in different environments too.
Well, it's so interesting because you were channeling my situation through my astrological chart, my birth chart. I was told I came into this life to learn how to be in intimate relationships.
Oh,
And it's just so interesting to experience how spirit can help you.
yeah.
And
I'm going to pull a few cards for you on this, Margaret.
okay. All right. Cool.
Because the energy's open. And although I'm not in a full channeled state, spirit likes to work. I mix all my decks. I am a weirdo. These are
Oh.
different because I couldn't pick just one. And so I work with an angel deck and intuitive.
I love that.
Yeah, but it's always incredibly accurate. So, and this is around. Okay, I love this. So, the cards that came in, the first one that came in said, follow your natural instincts. Don't make this current issue more complicated than it needs to be. You need to trust the universe and allow your intuition to guide you. You are always safe. So this is your higher self saying it's time to be vulnerable and be okay with it. Interestingly enough, another deck, this one here says you're not alone.
Wow.
It's a card of moving from feeling isolation to the physical connection of the earth realm and connecting to others. If you look at the image, it's like two people coming together and their hands are about to touch. And I feel it's just validating that ability to allow yourself to be vulnerable and trust. And the last card that came up, it says the journey. And it says, you are soaring to new heights. It's time to experiment and play and allow your spirit the freedom to explore new and exciting possibilities for your life. Follow the rainbow across the horizon. A pot of gold awaits. So I feel those cards were just trying to validate, it's your higher self saying, like, this is right. You're listening, Margie. Like, you're okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that. Thank you so much. I wasn't expecting a little mini reading there.
Yeah.
And you talked about the going through the taking people through the death experience. You're
Yes.
familiar obviously with Dolores Cannon.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because she talks about that, and that's always fascinated me. She was a hypnotist, and she would have people on the table. So she was doing energy work, and she would experience these like mind-blowing,
Yeah.
energies that would come through.
Yeah.
So she was able to take it way beyond that. This is so fascinating. One of the things that I think would be very helpful for people, especially now, is working with your enemies. I personally have the ability to accept people for where they are,
Yes,
and
I'm the same way.
there is one person in my life who is, and I'd love to have a session with you about this, but she and I clearly have some karma to work out. Do you work with people in working through that? Because I would love to resolve this issue with this woman.
Yeah. I myself have some of those soul contracts too. I'm going through it right now. And as I mentioned before, sometimes we think the lesson is ours, but it's really not. Sometimes we are here to teach someone. So, asking yourself, what is the lesson, not just for you, but for her as well? Remove yourself from yourself and try to see it from her angle. So, a lot of it is perspective. It's what I call working with hawk medicine. The hawk can see the whole field, or they can focus on the one little mouse. And sometimes we're too focused on the mouse because we want to get the prize, or we want to get to the bottom of it, or we want, and it's, important to shift your perspective. Removing yourself from your own perspective, I feel that's always the first step to finding resolve, because within that we see the human experience. Not everyone has the ability to discern or to look at those different perspectives, and she may be limited in perspective. She may have a hard time with her, or even not have the emotional capacity to do it. So for us, our perception, our experience, we have to remember, like, that's exclusive to us. She may not even be seeing it the same way, feeling it the same way. She may have chosen, like, I don't have the capacity, and I'm going to shut down and redirect. And so we have to remember, like, it's not always about finding resolve. Not always, because although that's what we want, sometimes it's not meant to be or meant to happen that way. We have to accept the energy as it is. So, as far as moving through dark energy or thick vibrations of energy, I feel it's very important to remain in a higher frequency or a higher vibration. And the more we attach to the earth realm experience of anger, resentment, the slower time and energy will move through it. It prolongs the experience. For instance, for me, like this lawsuit, I've been in it for 7 years. I finally removed myself because I was in such a place of fear. I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned more about the court system than I ever wanted to. I've learned a lot. I am the first person to hold this individual accountable. And that is important. And that's part of the lesson, right? So it's our ability to remove self. But in your situation in particular, we also have to ask, what is the karmic bond here? Have we done this before? And so that's where I would go into a meditation and sit with a, I do. So another thing we didn't talk about is I use channeled automatic writing when I'm in one-on-one sessions. That's my most accurate form of divination. I was trying to see if I had anything to show you. Like when I channel, it just comes out really quick. It's all over the place. It's not, it's not this perfect uniform, like I'm here.
Outline,
It doesn't work that way. Spirit, you have to interpret the feelings, visions, words that are coming through, and you just allow it so spirit can set you up for success. So, with a situation like that, I would encourage you to sit in silence. People overthink what meditation is. Ability to quiet your mind and to allow information to come to you. That's all it is. You don't have to be a guru sitting on a meditation pillow.
For 5 hours.
Like that's beautiful to do that. But it's the ability to quiet your mind.
And to allow the information to come through.
So what I would encourage you to do, and remember that spirit speaks to us in various ways. We have to be open to the subtle energies. The earth realm is a thick vibration. There are even thicker vibrations in ego-based experiences because anger, sadness, resentment, those feelings, they muddle energy, and it's a thicker vibration to even move through that. So our ability to let go of all of that, move into a higher state of consciousness, deep relaxation to quiet the mind. Ask spirit, what is the best path to resolve? And you know what it might be, Margie, is you letting it go. Because I know you want resolve. That's what we want. We always want resolve. We want resolve. But what is resolve? It might be the ability to let it go. Because we can't change someone else. We can't. It might be. I'm just throwing that out there, right?
Yeah,
It
absolutely.
might be that you write a letter as your last stitch effort to, and it could be more of a wish for someone. Like, my wish for you is that you find peace and happiness in your journey, even if I'm not part of that. Really sit with what is the resolve, and spirit will show you. It will come to you either in a vision, a message, a feeling. You could try writing, and maybe a few words come out that are like, I don't know what that was about, but it's going to make sense to me later. So trusting the process, because it's not instant. We want instant. That's how we,
Oh,
and we want
absolutely.
instant more and more every day. You know, everything's
Well,
moving so
we grew
fast.
up with I Dream of Jeannie and
Yes.
Bewitched,
But we have to trust that, you know, spirit is aligning everything for us. Even if it feels like it's not working out in our favor, there is a reason, you know? So.
Well, it's funny. Thank you so much. That is such good advice. And I think we have to remember that everything happens for us, not to us. And I have a friend who she thinks everything happens to her, and it's why, and but not really wanting to know why. If we remember that it happens for us, then we can move through that because you can heal your karmic past. You can heal those lessons. So the next time you come back, that's all taken care of. Or maybe you don't have to come back. Do you believe you don't have to come back?
There is a point in the journey of the soul that we, your guardian angels, are assigned to your soul, but guardian angels were once human. And so they're the highest form of human because they keep us safe and they protect our soul through many lifetimes. So they're assigned to your soul. And so as you keep moving and evolving through many lifetimes, that inner compass keeps growing and that knowing, the more you evolve and you do eventually like almost like age out of your soul's journey. And, you know, I believe that's, you know, like the Buddhists. That's a prime example of that. It's the ability. I mean, this is the best way I can describe this. Animals in nature, they vibrate higher than us because they know and trust that all of their needs will be met. Ultimate form of human is to know and trust that all of your needs will be met. You stop resisting everything. And that's the ultimate place of becoming a
Existence.
Buddhist, you know? So, but animals in nature, they are messengers sent from the spirit realm and they vibrate higher than us. They are above us in terms of the journey of the soul. So, and that's what spirit has channeled. So, you know, remember that everything I've shared today are, it's my interpretations through my own journey and my own journey work and what spirit has shared with me and through me.
But the message seems to be the same with different people that I talk to, it's this, I think that that is the message, and it comes through people like you. I have learned, and sometimes I resist it, but I have learned when I say I am exactly where I am supposed to be, that everything just relaxes. And I move through that situation very quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
But when I hold on to it, because no, it's supposed to be like this.
Yes, we
So,
want to micromanage everything.
yeah, it's supposed to be like
I
this. Then it's like, okay, it's
know.
supposed to be like that. We're going to give you more of that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But, oh
And
my.
I think the other thing I want people to hear, though, Margie, is that, I'm human going through the human experience too. Although I'm interpreting message, I'm helping people to the best of my ability, I still have my own human experiences and
Of
I
course.
am flawed. I am human. So, it's important to acknowledge that we are students. We're all students to this,
Absolutely. Well, and I think that if you were perfect,
Yeah.
no
Right.
one would be able to access your help, because
Right.
how do you get help from somebody that is so perfect and so up there? You know,
Right.
kind of like having a meeting with God, you know, it's like,
Right.
he's not
Right.
going to answer me. He's not going to let
Right.
me in. It take me years to get an appointment with him. Well, Brandy, thank you so much. Amazing. You are amazing. I could talk to you forever and ever and ever. But
Thank
tell
you.
us about how people access you if they
Yeah.
want to book sessions with you.
Yeah. So I have my website, which is brandywells.com. It's BRANDIE wells.com. And I have a self-booking schedule that people can access from there. So you can book your own sessions, whether they're in person in Keene, New Hampshire, or you want to experience a group. I do a lot of big channelings at restaurants. I do psychic dinners, things like that, all over New England. And sometimes people will book private experiences in their homes with small groups. And I really enjoy that. I find it to be very intimate and meaningful. But I'm also excited because about 2 years ago, I had offered a 4-week course on mediumship, and I'm opening that back up for January through May. And I'm going to be offering some weekend retreats that are focused solely on mediumship and your psychic abilities. And it will be smaller, intimate groups, overnights at some inns that are in New England. I'm
Wonderful.
excited about that because I also offer sound baths. And I have other healers and readers that want to participate in offering some experiences for people and different divinations and things. So I'm excited about that, but I'm also going to be offering some a la carte and 4-week courses on how to expand your own abilities and to even take it to that next level of formalizing this into a business too. It is an exchange of energy and people are seeking. And if you can bring more healers into the world, what better way than to give people the tools to expand themselves in that way, to bring more healers into the world? And that's what spirit keeps telling me is we need more healers. We need more healers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's brandywells.com,
Yes.
BRANDIE
Yes.
Wells, WELLS.com. And
Yeah.
you also do Zoom sessions, right?
Yes, I do. I would say about 75% of my work is on Zoom and only about 25% is in office here in Keene. This is my office. But I love social media and I interact with a lot of people, especially on Facebook.
Oh,
If
wonderful.
people ever want to share information, I have a Facebook group and I really enjoy connecting to my community that way.
Wonderful,
Yeah.
wonderful. Well, I know that I will be connecting with you again. And we did a great spirit circle this fall at my summer house, and that was so amazing. But
Yeah.
I'm to tell the audience, you are really a very, very special person, and I'm so glad to have met you. And I thank you so much for giving your time
Thank
here.
you.
Well, thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Love
Really
talking to you, Margie. Thank you.
same to you, Brandy. Take care.
All right. Be well.
Yes, you too. Bye. Thanks
Bye.
for joining us on Holistic Wisdom. Help us grow this community by subscribing and leaving a review. Your support helps others discover these rich conversations. Until next time, stay curious, stay healthy, and keep connected.